How about we give it up for the youth? My wife told me that I can't preach behind that big cross anymore because she can't see me, which isn't a bad thing. But that was a taste of camp. You know, we didn't have a lot of equipment or anything, but we had a guitar and some music, and we worshiped and we prayed and we baptized. I'm pretty sure that's what it says in here we're supposed to do. An atheist was walking through the woods thinking to himself, how beautiful the animals are, how majestic the trees are, how powerful the rivers are. As he walked along the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. He turned, saw an 8-foot grizzly bear charging towards him. He ran along the path as fast as he could. When he looked over his shoulder, he saw that the bear was closing in on him. He kept running, but he looked over his shoulder again, and the bear was even closer. Then he tripped. He fell on the ground, and the bear was right on top of him, pulled out his right paw, raised it to strike him. In the instant, an atheist cries, God help me. Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. A bright light shone upon the man, and the voice from the sky, God, said, you've denied my existence for all these years, have taught others that I don't exist. You've even credited creation to a cosmic accident. Why would you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Are you now a believer? And the atheist looked into the light and he said, well, I would be a hypocrite to suddenly ask for you to treat me like a Christian, or to accept the fact that you even exist. But could you, maybe, make the bear a Christian? Very well, said the voice. The light went out. The sounds in the forest resumed. The bear lowered his right paw, brought both paws together, bowed his head, and said, Lord, bless this food for which I am about to receive in your bounty through Christ the Lord. Amen. Please stand with me in the reading of God's inerrant holy word. I'll be reading from Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Let us pray. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. You know, the work and everything that goes into this, I just, you know, we stepped out of it. We just allowed ourselves to be vessels. Father, and that's what I'm kind of asking right now, is that you just remove Craig. He doesn't need to be up here. He just wants to be a vessel into which you talk through. Father, and we give you all the praise and glory. In your son's heavenly precious name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Wow. Camp is over. They didn't break my wife, number one rule. We only had 2 bloody noses, 1 chipped tooth, 3 overheats, and 1 concussion. And our motto was, Webb goes hard. Seemed to be a pretty good camp. Didn't have a lot of drama, not a lot of things went on. A lot of youth did business. I mean, we had a lot of stuff to talk to God about, and they did that. A lot of prayer went on, a lot of really good bonding time. It was a really good camp. You know, I didn't know if I was going to get Joe or Matt back up out of the water. You saw Pastor Gary in a video come running over to this side. I had 2 lifeguards on duty. I was a little worried. But we got them in and we got them out. Ephesians 3:20 was our power verse. It's on the back of our shirts. It was more. And just what more meant. We went through the book of Ephesians, and wow, did we get some meat out of it. Mike Shatterfield was our guest speaker. And man, did he keep our attention. He even kept my ADD in check. That's pretty difficult. First night, he talked about the resurrection, and he got up. All night. That's what we heard. He'd be going to the, he got up, and every single one of us would snap to attention. This drove our youth wanting more from God. Not just a Sunday. A lot of people experience that. A lot of people come into church, and like Anthony said, I thought going to church made me a Christian. I got up, went to church on Sunday, and I'm a Christian. And when we and Panda were talking to him outside, I was like, it's not how it works. You can be in a garage, but that don't make you a car. Being in this church doesn't make you a Christian. So we went through all of the theology, and it was kind of long because, you know, he's a little young. We want to make sure he understands it, and he was ready. He's like, I feel empty. There's something missing. I'm like, I'm going to tell you what it is. So he got saved, and then last Sunday I was able to baptize him. And, you know, he moved to Houston. We miss him. He's already texting me, you know, sad faces and stuff like that. He called Jody 11:30 at night saying he got there safe. He FaceTimed her. He was like, hi, I'm here. I made it. How you doing? Fun kid. Whether it was wanting more from him in a relationship or wanting to be more for him, all the youth made decisions. Joe and Matt just accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the other two, Michaela and Hunter, were saying, I am ready to start my ministry. And I said, well, we can do that with a baptism. And we had a sermon there in the cabin about what baptism's about, how it doesn't save you. You know, there was three on the cross, two and Jesus. One, he went to heaven. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. They didn't pull him down and baptize him. So baptism doesn't save you. But what it does say is that I'm following Christ. Today, I'm going in that water and a symbolism of death with my Savior to be rose again with him to start a new life. I'm going to follow him. You know, even writing this, I was beginning to tear up because it's humbling to me to baptize the young people I'm baptizing. And I'm not going to say that I'm not comparing him to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but I am saying what great things they're going to do. And for me to be a vessel in that situation, to be able to put them in the water and bring them back out, I can't thank him enough. Matthew 3:13-17 says this. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have no need to be baptized of thee, and you're coming to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus is becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I can't even imagine baptizing Jesus. I don't know what that was like. But I can kind of feel that humbleness it does to feel like you're baptizing somebody that do many great things better than you ever would. Saved and be baptized in that order. I understand that Jesus Christ was baptized, and if it was good enough for our Savior, it's good enough for you. And remember the loud voice. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But right after, Matthew 4:1 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Public confession. I'm going to start my ministry. It was Jesus, so he's not following himself. But he made a public confession. I'm starting my ministry today. Comes out of the water, immediately gets tempted. And I think that happens to all of us. As soon as you try to take a stand for Christ, the devil does not like it. And he attacks, and he tempts, and he knows exactly what it takes to put you in that position. He knows exactly what it takes to lure you into that sin, to get you out of accomplishing things for the kingdom. You know, it was his official way of starting his members. Remember his first miracle when he turned water into wine at the wedding? John 2, 3 and 4 says this, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour has not yet come. He hadn't been baptized yet. He hadn't decided to take on his ministry. But he decided to do this because obeying the father, mother, that whole thing, couldn't be sinless. She asked him to do something. He's like, she knew exactly who he was. But he said, my time hasn't come yet. There's a lot of Christians who take that step of salvation and they're saved. They're going to get to heaven. If not, baptism doesn't save you. But they never take that next step and say, I want to be baptized. I want to tell the world that I'm married to Christ. But right after that, Satan just puts you on his hit list. You know, I told the youth that this would happen, and they still said, we want more. That's a bigger stand than what a lot of you think, because there were some that said, I'm not ready yet. My heart's not right for that. And I think greatly of them because they're not just doing it for their friends. They're doing it to take that public stand of faith, and not because you did, but because I want to. I'm very proud of the ones who even said, I'm not ready, because that's important. But who are you in Christ if you're saved? You know, we learned Ephesians 1, 3 through 9 says this. Blessed be the God, the Father, our Lord, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Praise God. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory, his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein hath abounded towards us in the wisdom of prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. What's that mean? You're adopted. Well, most people saw that in worldly words. If you say adopted, people are like, oh. In Jesus' time, if you were adopted, it means you were chosen. And understand it was above and beyond what a normal biological child would be. See, in Jesus' time, if I didn't want my kid and it was my biological child, I just said I didn't want you. Took you out of the will, kicked you out of the house, you went and did your thing. But if I chose to adopt you, in other words, I went before somebody and said, they are now mine. I chose them. You can't give that back. Not in his time. And that's what Christ was talking about when he adopts you. He can't take it back. It's his covenant with you, being chosen. Kind of understand it like this. There was a young boy walking with his father in the woods. And he was holding his dad's hand, and they're kind of walking. And, you know, the son's kind of excited to get there. And he turns up to his dad, and he says, Dad, hold my hand. He said, Son, I'm holding your hand. He said, But, Dad, hold my hand. He said, Son, I'm holding your hand. Because most of you have kids and their hands are a little smaller and they got a couple fingers and are just holding on to it. He said, No, Dad, I'm holding your hand. Hold my hand. The boy was worried about losing the grip on his father. But he knew if his father had a hold of his hand that he couldn't break that grip. That's the same with us and Jesus Christ. It is not your hand holding on to him. It is his hand holding on to you. Can't be broken. Adoption is to be chosen. We are not holding on to Jesus. He is holding on to us. It's important to understand that. Because if we had anything to do with it, we would fail. He chose you, predestined you for a purpose and a glory so that he can get all of it. Being adopted meant something. Being adopted in Jesus' time is different than what we say. If it's sitting right there and it has nothing to do with you, the only thing it has to do with you is accepting the paperwork. Pretty easy to understand. We complicate it. He does not. Our musicians are going to come. They're going to give us a little bit of a hymn of invitation. That adoption is salvation. It's simple. It's very simple. And understand that it's nothing to do with you, but everything to do with him. He's not. Sometimes it seems like I was chasing him. I just want to feel him. I just want to touch him. I just want him to hold me. He didn't go nowhere. He's never let go. He's never moved. When we sang that song, I Surrender, it's not surrendering to your will, but to his. So we'll just take a little time to pray. If you got some business to take care of with Christ, I'm here. If you need to do it in the pew, do it there. If you need to make that public confession that, hey, I'm saved and I want to be baptized, come find out. I had so many opportunities with our youth at camp to truly know some of the things they're going through, some of the battles. You got some great kids, great hearts, big hearts, real battles. Baptizing some of them, and they're like, I don't know what's next. I don't even know how to tell my parents this. Church is with you. We'll do it with you. We stand with you. A lot of prayers. And I thank all of you for the prayers that you've given us. Matt called it a tug on his heart. Just had to stand up. And then Big Joe, or Barnabas, said, I'll go with you. So much love I was able to witness and be a part of. I'm humbled. So let us close in prayer. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be with you. Just this day and know that I'm adopted. And Father, that you've already signed the paperwork, paid in full. You've done all the work. Nothing I could do except accept it. So, Father, today, if there's someone in the audience that hasn't felt that love and that need of just wanting to be with you, I pray that this is a seed. All the youth wanted today was to touch one person. And Father, I know it did, because at least I was touched. Father, I'm going to pray for the baptisms, starting the ministry. Father, as a church, we got to be behind them. We got to know when they're needing. We got to know when it's the battle. Make us stand up for them. And Father, I ask all this in your Son's heavenly precious name, I pray. Amen. Please be with us right after church. We have lunch prepared. Just to kind of say thank you for sending us to camp. I know we have some announcements. And I'll be in the back, and then right after that, bond of love.
Morning, everybody. Aren't they awesome? All you kids are awesome. So thank you guys for opening up your hearts today, and thank you for Craig and Jody for all you do for these guys. Okay, I'm going to give a few announcements, and then we're going to have a video, then I'm going to give you one more. Craig says he needs a break, so there is no dodgeball tomorrow. Sorry, guys. He's got to recover from camp. Next Saturday, there's a men's prayer breakfast up here. What time is that, Larry? 8 o'clock? 7:30. And then after that, we have an admin meeting at 9. Okay? And then I also wanted to bring attention, if you're not aware, there's going to be a church picnic, church-wide, after church services, September the 10th. Bring your own food. It's going to be at Lloyd Park. We have a pavilion reserved. The Pavilion H is reserved at Lloyd Park. There is some seating there, but I don't know how much, so if you have lawn chairs, you might want to bring those too. Bring plenty of drinks and what have you. I think there's some concessions short nearby, but bring anything that you think you might want to have for you and your family. If you have any questions, let us know. All right, and now the video.
Somehow I thought I was going to have it all figured out by now. I mean, 35 years into studying the scriptures in depth, and I'm still searching for things, still asking lots of questions, still seeing so much mystery. But I've come to the conclusion that that's part of the adventure of it, that God has given us this whole walk that involves so much mystery, that it's part of the majesty, that we can never fully figure it out. This is where I'm headed for this year's simulcast. The name of it is Captivated, the Wonder of Christ on the Winding Road. When we can't see around that corner, when we don't know exactly what's going on, when we don't know exactly how God is going to answer it and what life is going to look like in a year, our God is faithful. I would so much love for you to come and join us for this simulcast. I think we have something special ahead.
Okay, ladies, if you don't know, that was Beth Moore. She has a yearly simulcast. This year it's going to be, as it says on the screen there, September the 16th. We are a host church for that. We are going to be having that event here. It's going to be an all-day event. Love for everybody to come, even you youth girls. Love for you guys to come too. It does require signing up. We have to have a head count. We have to have your names because we're going to make name tags. It's a $10 charge that will help cover part of the simulcast that also includes food for the day, because like I said, it is an all-day deal. We're going to have a short meeting right now as soon as we wrap up here for any of you ladies that would like to come and help us plan the go-forward from here to the actual day of the event. That's going to be, like I said, it's immediately following, and we're going to be in the small children's church room across from the nursery. If you want to come and see what that's about, there is information in the bulletin on how to sign up. There's a sign up sheet on the bulletin board. Email me. There is a Facebook post out there for the event. Any number of ways you can join up if you want to, or just come and ask me questions. That's it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Travis Monk. Welcome to Church Camp.
I can outrun you, I got honey I can put on you, and then I'll go back to the room and make another one look just like you. The message says, don't feed the bear. Don't feed the bear! Okay, you're out of your mind, preacher. No, it's another letter. Go to James chapter 1. And in this particular section, I'm going to give you a book. And in James chapter 1, verse 12, it says these words, blessed is the man who endures trials, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that he has promised to those who love him. No one undergoing a trial should say, I'm being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed, write this down, by his own evil desires.
And we see Travis gonna go buy me some pizza because he can't eat it.
You thought?
Don't record yourself. Don't make your camera suffer like that.
It's the Sam Squinch. Run! All right, what's up, girl?
Say hi, booger.
You ain't gonna say hi. He's just gonna. All right.
Oh,
all right.
Denied.
All right. Bye then.
Looking like Floyd Money Mayweather. So currently it's just me and Travis awake. And Craig. Craig's in the potty. Pretty sure he's dying or something. I don't know. It's also that time. Whatever that says. Or that. I don't know. We'll fix it in editing. Just kidding, I probably won't.
You ready?
No. I guess.
You gotta get your foot off the ground.
It wasn't on the ground.
Oh my gosh. That's it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, hit her. 10 points if you hit her. Hit her. Run her over. Beep. Do it.
And then no.
That would have been 10 points.
Points.
Yes, you do. Sing us the song of your people, Craig.
All right.
Jimmy moved in with his mother in a garbage bag that's full of clothes.
Yo, my name is Jimmy. His name's Craig too. Me, him, and you, we went to the same school.
All right, we got this chick
And then Carrot Top. Look at all that. Yo, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die of starvation.
Hey, listen to me. You're gonna be okay. Okay? You're gonna be alright.
So, front pouch, easy enough. All the cash. We just got the cash.
I'm trying to make it right.
We got the cash. Oh, here we got inhaler, safety. Safety first.
You gotta rescue.
We got some pins. Pink pins, of course. Pink squad. Headbands?
Three bands.
Fidget spinner. Keeps me occupied.
Occupied.
Occupied. And then gum. Yeah.
Ooh. Now that you just won, what are you going to do? I'm going to Disney World. No, I'm going to sleep, actually. I'm going to sleep.
I'm still going to sleep.
Happy birthday to
R-E-D.
And you are like junior high. What is this for?
R-E-D. I can you go up the stairs?
I don't know.
No, I can't go upstairs.
Yeah, I'm too fat.
Yeah. You know how hard it is to get all this weight up
the
step?
You're not fat.
I'm actually about to die right now. Fun fact.
The more you know.
Oh, did you run here? We're like, no, we just... Why are we going? More stairs. Jacob, let me see your inhaler.
All right, y'all ready?
Eat it.
It's quality. Quality first. Just get a nice big chunk. Got some grass on there. It's okay, though. No. Better than gum. I'm about to take a bite. I'm not going
to
eat all of it.
Actually, I feel like I'm about to throw up. Never mind. Formation.
It smells really bad. I'm not about it. I thought I was. Psych. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's go, Joe! How do you feel?
I feel good.
I'm just.
It's gonna happen.
Hey. You won't do it.
Oh, God. Oh, I saw that. No.
Swallowed it. Craig, I have a question for you. Whenever Joe stood up out of the water, did he lift you with him?
My feet weren't touching.
Like love, dude. Like love, did he lift you?
My feet weren't touching.
Hi, I'm Travis Monk. Welcome to Church Camp.
It looked like a wild and crazy camp. Yuki, you did a wonderful job today. Let's stand and we'll let's pray for the food before we do. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this time together. We just thank you for their youth and Jody and Craig and all the work they do. Bless them, bless the youth, and bless our meal as we eat it this in a few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bond of love.
We are one.